The Postcast, brought to you by Boyle Sports. Best odds guaranteed, available the day before racing on singles, multiples, online and in shop. Time to switch? Boyle Sports. This is betting.
Hi there, many thanks for joining us for the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, joined by two fine Racing Post judges in Richard Birch and David Jennings. And we've also got Leon Blanche from Boyle Sports. Here's what is coming up on the show. Now, we had Epsom last week and we've got Royal Ascot next week. So this isn't going to be one of those high quality Saturdays, but it more than makes up for it in competitiveness. Got some excellent racing. Four races on ITV from York, three from Sandown and one from Chester. We will be going through those and hopefully pinpointing some value. We'll also see what else the chaps fancy over the weekend. We'll get the naps and then we'll have a look ahead to Royal Ascot, which runs Tuesday to Saturday next week. And we'll get the panel's best bets. So without further ado, then let's jump into York's four TV races, starting with the 2 o'clock, which is the Queen Mother's Cup Handicap. It's for female amateur jockeys over a mile and a half. And thankfully, with 13 runners, Boyle Sports offer four places. And they bet as follows, 4-1. Top Anticipation, 4-1, King of the Midlands, 15-2, Cassilly, 15-2, Arctic Fox, 10, Throne Hall, 11, Bar. Birchie, I'm going to start with you and I'm going to ask you a question. When you come to these female jockeys races, how much emphasis do you put on the jockey as opposed to the horse?
You have to factor it in. Obviously, there's some riders in there that are much more experienced than others. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're better than the younger one. So yeah, I do take it into account, but mainly I go on the horse. The one I fancy is Arctic Fox, who has got great history in this race. Ridden by young Fern O'Brien, the daughter of Fergal. She's had winners. She's perfectly capable. She's a good, talented young rider. Arctic Fox, he was second in the race last year. He won it in 2019. It's tens on. He's been laid out for the race again. And 15-2 sounds quite big to me.
Excellent. Birchie opens up with a nice confident tip on Arctic Fox. David Jennings, what's your selection?
Yeah, That's the danger to mine. That's really the only one I'm worried about. I fancy Top Anticipation for Harry Eustace, who's actually sent out four winners from his last 10 runners, which is quite remarkable. Becky Smith, really talented rider. She takes the ride. Top Anticipation was 0-13 before she won at Leicester back in May. But she's turned inside out now. And I thought she was actually value for further than she won at York last time. She's got away with a £6 rise. Same course and distance here. And 4-1 is more than fair. I could see her going off 5-2.
Just looking at Harry Eustace there, DJ, do you think there's any other trainers who, if you change one letter of their name, you'd get a dual champion hurdle winner? It's unlikely, isn't it?
That would be a brilliant game, though.
Well, it wouldn't really, would it? Because it's impossible and there's only one answer. But yeah,
Was there a Tony Archibald in Australia?
Well, actually, that's not really changing a letter. That's deleting one. But yeah, I suppose it's possible. Yeah. Well, we'll give that some thought, but I doubt there is any others. Anyway, without further ado, Leon, who do you like in the opener at York?
Yeah, I'm going to go along with DJ and this one, Bruce. Top Anticipation. I think Becky Smith is worth her weight in gold in these particular races. Won its two races this season. Seems to always run well at York, obviously winning over course and distance. Had a couple of seconds there last year. So for me, with the four places, very hard to see this one out of the first four with us paying the first four.
Righty-ho, let's move on to the 2:35 at York, which is the JCB handicap over 7 furlongs, 9 runners, and there's a special from Boyle Sports. Free bet if your selection finishes second to the SP favourite. Full terms and conditions on the website. 5-2 favourite is Boardman. 4, Lion Tower. 9-2, Maywake. 5, Chalet. 10, Mykonos St John. And 14, Bar. David Jennings, away you go.
Oh, it's boring, Bruce. I think Boardman will win again. It's hard to believe he's going for a hat-trick and he's off 99 and he won at Thirsk in May off 92. Like, he's only £7 higher and he's after winning two races. He has run well at York in the past as well, actually. He was a close-up fifth there last October. And he actually won over this course and distance last year as well. So he actually handles the track, even though I think Chester is made for him because he whizzes around those tight turns. But the handicapper has been quite nice to him here. I think £4 for what he did at Chester, given he was going right away at the line, I think that's very lenient indeed. And once stall one, once he doesn't just get into too much bother, I think he'll be fine from stall one. I think Boardman will win.
Boardman is saddled with DJ's selection.
Very
good. Who do you, thank you. Very who do you like, Leon?
Bruce, I think the handicapper has probably caught up with a few of these for racking up a number of wins. But Lion Tower, for me, runs off the same mark tomorrow. So the handicapper left it alone when it finished second here last time out. So I'm going to give the selection to Lion Tower for trainer Grant Tuer.
Thank you very much. And Birchie.
Boardman for me. I had a good bet on Mykonos St John when Boardman beat it at Chester a couple of weeks ago. Boardman only beat it by, I think it was a length and a quarter. But there was never any moment in the final furlong and a half when you didn't think Boardman was going to win. Agree with DJ. I think he's still potentially quite nicely handicapped. I think he's still progressing, and yeah, I think he'll win.
Okay, the RP boys fancy Boardman and Leon fancies Lion Tower. The 305 at York Mile and sixth the trip for the Sky Bet Race to the Ebor Grand Cup. It's a listed race, and Mandoob is favourite at 9-4. Without a fight, 3-1. Kimari, 3-1. You can Glenn, 6-1. What are you doing? How can it be 6-1? Excellent. You can Glenn is 6-1, and it's 9-1 John Leeper and 12-1 One Smooth Operator. You can Glenn just wins, doesn't he, Leon?
No, not for me, Bruce. I'm gonna go with without a fight. This horse very, very seldom runs a bad race. And I think in this type of company, he looks a very, very, he looks to be in with a huge, huge chance. 3-1 will do for me. Kamari, to me, looks a bit in and out and wears the cheek pieces. I think he's one that will try and get a few quid into the sachelon. But I'm going to go with without a fight for me.
Okay, Birchie, talk some sense into Leon.
Question marks over all of these for me. I'm going to have some of that 9-1 John Leeper. Only 12 months ago, there were people absolutely salivating over his chance in the Epsom Derby. Sorry, Derby. There's only one.
I was going to say, I bet you were the sort of person who hates people calling it the Epsom Derby.
Yeah, only in Derby. And he ran at Sandown last time over 2 miles. Yeah, well, he didn't get the trip, did he?
Paceless.
No, he's coming. He's coming back. Why is Ryan still riding him? He could have,
he could have ridden anything else in the race, hasn't he?
No, he's a good horse. Ed Dunlop's been in tremendous form all season. I'll have some of that 9-1, please.
All right, then you chuck your money away on John Leeper. Come on, DJ, you know the score here, don't you, mate? It's all about the Glen.
Yeah, well, John Leeper sucked me in and then spat me out at Sandown last time and did the same to our colleague Tom Siegel. I fancied him to run a big race there because I loved his run at Chester. And I have no idea what the story was last time at Sandown. Maybe he didn't stay, I don't know. He was never once even put in the race at
any stage. No, he wasn't.
I was watching it going, what the hell is going on here? Like, it was the type of race where you'd say that a jockey almost misunderstood how many circuits were left or something. You're going, come on, Ryan, get the finger out. Like, it was just really frustrating to watch, I thought. And in fairness, Ryan is having the season of his life and he's riding out of his skin. But I just don't know what the story was. Maybe he wasn't good enough. And maybe, maybe you will see a different John Leeper over this trip. But I'm kind of with Bertie in that I do think he's still got potential and I like to run a Chester, but I just can't forgive him what he did at Sandown last time. So the one that I like and I'd be fairly sweet on is Mandoob. Second run after Wind Up, unexposed, lightly raced 4-year-old. Loved the run against El Azzi last time. People have pointed to the fact that he got an easy lead, but I still thought he quickened the tempo kind of halfway. He had some good horses like Third Realm and Stole in behind that day. I thought it was a really, really solid run from him. And I think even his performances against Yabir last season, probably is the starting point here in this race. And yeah, I think he's got more scope for improvement than most of them here. So I'd be pretty sweet on Mandoob.
Okay, and talking of the Derby, I hope a lot of you lovely listeners were talked into backing the Mighty Desert Crown by G-Rod. He was so sweet on him, and the horse didn't let him down. It was absolutely brilliant. Superstar was born. We haven't seen G-Rod since. I presume he's drowning in champagne. But anyway, well done to G-Rod, and well done to you if you back that brilliant Derby winner. Finally at York, then, the 340 is the... Hang on a sec, my computer's frozen... It's the Pavers Foundation Catherine Memorial Sprint, handicap over 6 furlongs. Wide open. We have 19 runners thundering up the Knavesmire Straight. And thankfully, we've got extra places. Boar Sports pay 5 places on this, and they make Ingra Tor their favourite at 4-1. From Harry, 3 at 15-2. 8-1, Showtime Mahomes. 10 Gisburn, 10 Roach Power, 11 Devastate, 12 Bar. Birchie, solve this fiendish puzzle if you can.
Yeah, well, you look at this race and there's so many young, progressive three-year-old sprinters in it. It's very difficult to, you know, to know what to do. In this situation, I always go through the runners and think, this is a really, really valuable race. Is there a potential group horse in the race? And you go through them and you go through them one by one and you look at the back form and then you look at the potential and whatever. And as far as I can see, there is only one horse in this race that in 3 months' time might be running in a Group 3. I know he's favourite, but the horse is Ingra Tor. I was speaking to Jack Shannon this morning for a preview for the race. It's patently obvious that they think the horse is going to win. It's patently obvious that they think he's potentially a group horse in the making. And I've also got a quote from Tim Easterby, who knows every blade of grass at York. And Tim says that it's absolutely vital to have a low to middle draw. So he's drawn in stall 11. He just about fits into that. I think if there's a star in the race, it's Ingra Tor. And I'm not having a bet in the race, but he's my selection. Thank you.
Oh, some great info coming straight to your ears via the mouth of Richard Birch. Interesting stuff. Birchie, by the way, quick word on Desert Crown. Superstar or dominant winner of a not brilliant Derby?
He's trained by Michael Stout, so you'd expect him to improve further. He's the most excited that I've been about a Derby winner since 10 years ago. So
good. Yeah. And DJ, wasn't it nice to see Richie Kingscote pass that big test of nerve? I mean, he was such a cool customer all the way through. Gave it a brilliant no-nonsense ride, didn't he? What do you think of Desert Crown?
Ah, magic, yeah. Like Bertie, I'd say in the last 10 to 12 years, he's the most stylish and the most excited I've been about a winner. Like Richard Kingscote, you probably saw it on television, but just how cool he was after the race.
He looked like he'd won a seller at Catterick, didn't he?
I know, it was unbelievable. Like I was trying to think of ways of phrasing it. I was like, I think I said in the report something like he looked like he got 2 Mars bars out of a vending machine when he...
That's right, it was a good line that, yeah, I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like that. It was just, even when I was talking to him, I was like, you won the Derby, like, but it was that coolness which kind of came across in the race. Like, he didn't panic. And one key thing is, he hit the horse once and he won by 2.5 lengths. Like, other riders would have really got carried away in the moment and got stuck into Desert Crown and won by 6 or 7. He just was real cool and rode the race the way he rides races every day of the week. And it was lovely, lovely moment and a lovely ride, I thought. I was delighted for him.
Yeah, excellent. Right then, back to this race. Who wins?
Is this lot just glaringly obvious that Ingra Tor wins? Like, he's already beaten the second favourite in Harry Tree. And they're basically the same at the weights. Like, Harry Tree has won since at Newmarket and is up to 97. He ran against Ingra Tor when he was rated 89. So he's up 8 and Ingra Tor is up 9 since that win at Newmarket. Bertie said, he's the one horse in the race that you say to yourself, right, by the end of the season, he's going to be running in group sprints. It's a big field and it's York. And that's probably the reason he's the price he is. I think he should be shorter and I think he'd win.
Okay, we've got 2 very strong fancies for Ingra Tor. What do you make of it, Leon?
Full house, Bruce. Full house, Ingra Tor. Very unlucky not to have 3 wins already this season. He ducked left and the actual only time he got beaten by a neck. Came there still with every chance, but probably just lost his chance of winning that race at Kempton at the start. He was only beaten a neck by Nationwide. Gone up 9 pounds. But I still think he's got plenty in hand. So, yeah, full house for Ingrator.
Three very confident shouts to finish our preview of York. We're off to Sandown next.
Racing Post Members Club is the ultimate racing subscription, helping you to stay ahead of the field. It includes unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and helpful tools such as enhanced race cards, the horse tracker, and an extensive database of statistics. We've got a special offer just for Royal Ascot. Until the 19th of June, you can get 25% off your first year of Members Club Ultimate Annual. To redeem this offer, head to racingpost.com and click on subscribe. Then select Get Ultimate Yearly and enter the code RULE22 at the checkout. Your first payment will be charged at £261.75. Subscription renews at full annual price thereafter. Members Club, stay ahead of the field.
Welcome back. We've done York's races. Let's look at Sandown's three ITV races. And then we've got another one at Chester. First at Sandown's the 140. The Coral beaten by length. Free bet handicap over a mile and one furlong. We've got 10 runners and it's got a wide open look to it. Boyle Sports make Al Dadger 9-2 joint favourite with Maplewood. And then it's 11-2 V-Site. Six rudimental even. 13-2 Knight of Luxury, 7 Hamaki and 11 Bar. And it's DJ's turn to serve. This looks testing.
It does. At the prices, I'm going to chance Knight of Luxury, who finally came of age last time at Leicester. And I thought has been led away quite lightly with a £3 rise. And it's funny, like, Sidebinsler sent him to Maidan in the winter. And like for a horse rated 76, it was just a kind of a strange move for a maiden that was rated 76 to go to Maidan. It was sent off favourite for his debut at Wolverhampton last autumn as well, which makes me think that he's probably a little bit better than we've seen so far. He was gelded before this year. And last time at Leicester, he was a drifter in the market, went out to 10-1. But I just liked the way he travelled. There was a stage up the straight where I didn't think he was going to get out. And then he did. I thought he was nicely on top of the line. And again, I'm quite surprised he only got a £3 rise. I thought that was fairly lenient. So I'm going to chance him at 13-2.
That's Knight of Luxury for David Jennings. Leon, who are you going to plump for?
I'm going to have a go with V Sight, Bruce, trained King by Ray Beckett. Stable are coming into form, I think, at the present time. That Newmarket run, when he was beaten just under seven lengths, when he finished fourth, I mean, he's only beaten a half a length just to get third, and he was doing his best work at the finish, and I think there's still a good bit more to come. Officially rated 74, I'd be surprised if V-Sight can't go higher than that. So V-Sight for me.
Thanks for that, Leon. Next up, the 215 at Sandown. It's the Coral Play Racing Super Series for free handicap over a mile. Ball Sports go 11-4 favourite encouraged. 3 Uzo, 7 Empire State of Mind, Sheer Rocks and Tahitian Prince. 8-1 Bar. Over to you, Leon.
Yeah, Bruce, I'm going to go for a big price one here, trained by Ed Dunlop. Arthur's Realm. I thought it was a very, very good run at Epsom last time out, when I feel he ran an awful lot better than his finishing position would suggest. He finished 8 of 15, beaten 5.5 lengths by Totally Charming, but things just didn't go all his right way. He was making a bit of headway around 3 furlongs out and just got short of room. But I just think at 20-1, I just think there's a bit of value in Arthur's Realm. I think he's a great each way bet for this particular race.
Bold selection at Arthur's Realm for Leon. Birch, is this your sort of race?
Yes, it is. And I particularly like James Fanshawe with his type of improving four-year-old. I mean, James was, you know, he was assistant trainer a long, long time ago to Sir Michael Stout. And I don't think it's a coincidence that James is very, very patient. It's the, you know, he brings them along very steadily. They get better as they get older. Encouraged looks a typical case in point. He's won his last two on the all weather, but he's got plenty of form on turf. So don't worry about the switch back to turf. He's got a good draw in stall three. I think you need to be low around that mile at Sandown. And Sylvester D'Souza on board. Everything in place for a big run.
Will you be strapping on the betting boots for this one?
No, I won't. No.
How many horses will you back on Saturday, do you think, in all?
Probably between 6 and 8.
Oh, okay. Encourage won't be one of them, but you still think he's the good thing here. Righty-ho, David Jennings, who's your selection?
I fancy a bit of Uzo, Bruce.
He's a good old boy, isn't he? Do you know what? My horse tracker, my horse tracker is the equivalent of a lady's handbag. I don't clear it out enough, and there's all sorts of junk swimming around in there. And Uzo has been in there longer than the internet was invented, virtually. But I don't want to delete him because he keeps running well. So I'm delighted to hear you fancy him. Tell him
why. If you backed him last time, Bruce, if he was in your tracker and you backed him last time, you'd be going, how on earth did you not get paid? Like, one of these races where you're going, right, he wins. How did he not win? Like, he traded at 1.03 on Betfair, and it's a mystery how he didn't win to me. Like, he was fourth in the Royal Hunt Cup last year off 96. So he is a well-handicapped horse, and he was drawn 33 in the Royal Hunt Cup. The winner came from four, and it was one of these where it was a high draw all week that was on top, but Real World was drawn in four. But I thought that was a hell of a run. It seems to me like he looked every bit as good last time at Sandown with the ease with which he travelled. He obviously likes Sandown as well. He's £4 higher now. Safi Osborne has had a terrific week. He's just one of these that will he get the job done, but he's going to be banged there inside the final furlong, and he might just get it done.
I agree. 250 Sandown is the Coral Scurry Stakes over the five furlongs, that weird five furlong track that starts off down the middle of the course and ends up miles away from anywhere. And we've got a short price favourite in Keturah. Boyle Sports make him 11-10. And then it's 4-1 Mikbahi, 9-2 Live in the Dream, 9-1 Illustrating, 10 Get Ahead, and 14 At a Girl. Just the six runners. Back to you, Birchie, to go first. Is this a good thing, this Keturah?
I think so. It's a big drop in class for the horse. Group 2 down to listed. Only six runners. Won a Group 2 last season, the Flying Childers at Doncaster. And obviously that's why he's got the penalty and is carrying more weight than the rest. But he ran well at Haydock in that sandy lane against superior opposition. He's down in grade against inferior rivals this time. I don't see any reason why he shouldn't make a bold bid.
DJ, can you see beyond the jolly?
I can. I fancy a stablemate. I fancy Get Ahead. Now, the ratings suggest that Get Ahead has absolutely no chance whatsoever. Like, she's only rated 93 and Keturah is rated 110. She does get a lot away from Keturah, though. And I'm convinced, utterly convinced, we haven't seen the best of Get Ahead yet. I thought she was going to be a real smart sprinter this season. Like, she was sixth and she ran well in the Queen Mary last year. And she won her debut at Ascot. But on a couple of times this season, she's just started slowly and she's been out of her ground, and then she's had to make up ground, and she didn't get the clearest of runs last time at York either. She was well back last time at York in that Lister race, and I think the Cox stable thinks she's better than she's shown so far. I know that rating of 93 is a kind of a stickler where you're going, ah, God, she can't win a race like this off 93, but she's definitely better than that. And I have a feeling that Sandown might just suit her. Her style of running might suit. She's going to be a little bit wider, which I think will help because she's drawn in six. And I think she's pacey. If she breaks well, I think she'll go very close.
Right, you are. Now then, the ITV Action on Saturday is completed by a race at Chester. It's the 3:20, 7.5 furlongs for the extra places every day at Betway Handicap. 14 runners. I do know that Boyle Sports offer four places in this, but I don't know how they bet. Have you got prices there, Leon?
No prices yet.
Nothing
on this
yet.
One,
I'll give you some guide prices because there's a few floating around from elsewhere. 9-2 Thunder Legend, 7 Outgate, 7 Roman Dragon, and 8-1 Bar. This looks a bit of a tricky old test, David Jennings. So please solve it for us.
I actually thought Thunder Legend would be hard to catch if he gets out in front. Last time at Haydock, I'd say Tom Marcan had to go quicker than he wanted to, and it looked as though he was going to hold on two out, and then Jimi Hendrix got to him. He's down a little bit in trip and he's at a tighter track, and I think the exuberance with which he races, I think it'll actually suit Chester. I think it's a good move by Haggis to bring him to Chester. He's drawn in three, and if he gets out on terms and gets clear early, I think he's going to be hard to beat.
God, you've delivered that really quickly. You know, some postcasts and some videos you watch, you instinctively go to the thing that the playback speed and put it up a little bit. I mean, some of them I can go up to like two almost. With you, you have to go down in speed. It's incredible. That was very rapid fire. Yeah. Indeed. Okay, Leon, who are you going to go for?
Bruce, I'm going to go with Roman Dragon. for Hugo Palmer. Good run last time out at Haydock over seven. Finished second, beaten a half a length. Ben Curtis was in the plate that day. It's a very, very tricky contest, Bruce. I won't be having a bet, but if I had to just nominate one, around about 6 or 7 to 1, Roman Dragon each way. And for that last race, Bruce, that we just didn't have a look at, I know the boys went for two different ones, the last race we covered there at Sandown. I think Illustrating could go.
Oh my goodness, did I not come to you? What an amateur.
I'm just throwing it in, mate, just Illustrating. I think them first time cheek pieces might just do the trick on the Clipper Logistics Carl Burke, trained filly. I mean, she was second behind Twilight Jet in the Cornwallis. That horse is fancied to go well in the Commonwealth at Royal Ascot next week. I just think Illustrating is too big a price.
Producer Sam has just shown me a yellow card, which I take on the chin. Apologies, Leon. Okay, right. So back to the 320 at Chester. DJ fancies Thunder Legend. Leon fancies Roman Dragon. Richard Birch fancies.
Right, who's the king of Chester?
The Good Doctor.
Franny Norton. Franny Norton's the king of Chester.
I always think of the Good Doctor as the king of Chester.
Yeah, fair point, but I'll have Franny Norton, right?
Okay, fair enough.
What do you need to win round Chester?
Good draw, low draw.
Yeah,
early and
what do you need to be a front runner or come from behind?
DJ, you can answer.
Front runner.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Right. Ticks all three boxes there. Roman Dragon, get on.
Bruce, ABC stuff, Bruce, come on.
All right, I said early pace.
Yeah.
I said early pace and I said a low draw, and I still think Marwan Kukash is the king of Chester. But anyway, I get your point. You fancy Roman Dragon, yeah?
I fancy him, yeah.
I'm rubbish at quizzes. That's the TV action. Plenty more to come.
Racing Post Members Club is the ultimate racing subscription, helping you to stay ahead of the field. It includes unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, replays from all UK and Irish race courses, and helpful tools such as enhanced race cards, the horse tracker, and an extensive database of statistics. We've got a special offer just for Royal Ascot. Until the 19th of June, you can get 25% off your first year of Members Club Ultimate Annual. To redeem this offer, head to racingpost.com and click on subscribe, then select Get Ultimate Yearly and enter the code RULE22 at the checkout. Your first payment will be charged at £261.75. Subscription renews at full annual price thereafter. Members Club, stay ahead of the field.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Richard Birch, David Jennings and Boyle Sports' Leon Blanche. We've done the 8 ITV races on Saturday. Now let's delve into the rest of a packed card. We've got Bath, we've got Hexham even. We've got all the undercards. They're racing at Downpatrick and Limerick in Ireland. There is evening fare at Worcester and Leicester. Don't give away your naps, but tell us who else you think the listeners should be backing, Richard Birch.
I like It's How We Roll in the 4:46 at Bath. I don't have trackers. I don't know what a tracker is, if I'm honest. But I have notebooks and papers and things like that, and I write down.
Well, it's
down
sort of like that, but on. Do you know what the internet is and digital screens are? You know about them, don't
just
you?
About,
you
are, just about.
You're stuck in the 1980s.
I am stuck in the 1980s.
Unashamedly, aren't you?
Unashamedly, I love it. Yeah, I love it back then.
Do you think it was better then, the world?
Oh, much. Infinitely, yeah. Absolutely. No doubts whatsoever.
Okay.
Wouldn't you like to go back to those days?
No, I don't. We've progressed since then. It was rubbish back then, Birchie. Come off. How can you say the 80s? The only thing that was better about the 80s was music.
Okay.
And Novar. But apart from that, the world's
moved on. Charlton were better in the 80s, I suppose. Yeah, I agree. I'll take that one. Anyway, it's how we roll in the 4:46 at Bath. I've been watching him for ages, and he doesn't win. But he always finishes he very, very rarely finishes outside of the first three, and he's going to pop up at a big price one day. And I wrote down in my notes last time after he ran at Bath, it was 1 mile and 6 furlongs. I didn't think he got the trip. He's back to 1.5 miles tomorrow. In that race at Bath he ran last time, the first three were up with the pace throughout. It's How We Roll was settled right out the back and given a hell of a lot to do off a slow pace. Pace didn't collapse. He ran on really well to finish fourth, close fourth, and I don't think he quite got the trip. at that time, trainer John Spearing hadn't had a winner for a long time. He's had a winner this week. Everything is coming together for this horse to win at Bath tomorrow, and he's going to be my biggest bet of the weekend. I haven't seen any prices yet. I had a look just before we came on, did this show. I would imagine he'd be around the 12-1 mark.
Blimey.
And I'll be having a really good each way bet on him.
Oh, how can you not back It's How We Roll in the 4.46 at Bath after hearing that. I was going to say Birchie never changed, but if there's one human being you guarantee never to change, it's Birchie, so I don't need to. DJ.
Yeah, that was I enjoyed listening to that, now I have to say. I felt like I was a listener rather than a contributor. And I will be watching on with interest, Birchie. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
A less compelling case, but I'll be devastated if Cold Case doesn't win the 4.15 at York. Real eye catching run, like they obviously think the world of him because he was sent off odds on for a novice at Carlisle on his debut. He was a son of showcase, and he just got to know his job a little bit too late. It was only a 4-runner race, and one of them unseated rider. But it just struck me that the further he went, the better he looked. He got the message late, and I'd say he's a decent cold case in the 4.15 at York. That's all I have for you, Bruce.
I'll tell you what, DJ, when you watch that race, you'll need to learn your colours. There's an abundance of yellow on the silks there, so make sure you get the right one. Okay, Leon, don't give your nap away, but have you got anything else you want to point the listeners towards?
Yeah, looking at one tomorrow, Bruce, in the 2.55 from Downpatrick, trained by Lorna Fowler. I'm going to try and pronounce this, and I'm hoping maybe DJ can help me, because it's spelled Y-F-Y-N-D-U-W, capital A-F-Y-D-D. So I think it's Wyfyn.
I didn't know DJ had any Welsh blood in him. Why would he?
Wyfyn Duafud. I'm having a go at it. But I just thought last time out, the horse that finished, I think this horse finished second, and the horse that finished fourth has since come out of that race and won. And I just think this is definitely a race that is well within this horse's capacity of going and winning. It was a good one last time out. He was beaten, Name Me Famous, beaten by 4.5 lengths. But as I said, the form has worked out well. And I think for Lorna Fowler, 2.55, number 3, not going to try and pronounce it again, at down
back. Efin do a fid. Do you know what that means?
Efin do a fid. No.
It's the motto of Matthew in Welsh, and it means what God willeth will be. How about that?
Wow. So it's almost like it's how we roll.
I suppose it is actually, yeah. That is actually true, yeah. There's serendipity to those tips, isn't there? Brilliant. Okay, interesting stuff. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with David Jennings.
4.50 at Limerick, Bruce. I have a voice for Jim Bulger and Kevin Manning. Very, very interesting horse. Ran 3 times in maidens last year as a two-year-old before it was gelded, and ran against Hedebrism, Gloonthorn, and Twilight Jet. All of whom are probably.
I'm struggling to find a 4.50 at Limerick, my friend.
3.50. What did I say? 4.50.
You said 4.50. That's okay.
Start again. Go into
3.50. That's right. We can keep playing it. It shows you're human.
In the producers, I don't think we need any evidence of that. In the 3.50 at Linkfield, in the 3.50 at Limerick, I fancy I have a voice for Jim Bulger and Kevin Manning. Really interesting last year was ran 3 maidens over 5 and 6 furlongs. Now it's running over 1.5 miles. And I think what I have a voice, last time at Leperson, it just looked like he came of age, to be honest with you. He absolutely bolted up off a mark at 67. He's gone up £10 for that to 77, which is the most a handicapper could have given him. But I still think he's a few steps ahead of that handicapper. And this looks a really winnable race. There's a few in here that are completely out of form. I think he's on an upward curve. If Kevin Manning can get him into a decent, prominent position, he should take the world a beating. That is in the 3.50 at Limerick. I have a voice.
Thank you very much. Leon, who's your nap?
I'm going to go to Sunday, Bruce. 4.05 at Downpatrick, and go with Frontline Worker. How much have we all needed those over the past number of years, every single one of them. But this horse, trained by Henry de Bromhead, was a very, very good winner last time out at Punchestown on good ground. And I think this mare will go in again in that 4:05 on Sunday.
Okay, so Leon hopes that Frontline Worker is nursed to the front in time for the finish. And Richard Birch, what's your nap of the weekend?
It's How We Roll, 4:46 Bath each way.
Brilliant. You made a very strong case. Right then, as we said at the start, 5 days of brilliant racing start on Tuesday at Royal Ascot. It would be remiss of us, therefore, not before we go to get the lads' best bet of the week. And we'll start with you, Birchie.
I like Fresh in the Wokingham on Saturday. Was just touched off in the race last year. Finished second. Only a couple of pounds higher this year. Gives the impression he's every bit as good this year, if not better. I know it's a big field cavalry charge. We don't know the draw yet, but if he gets a favourable draw, and you won't really know what a favourable draw is until the end of the week, he's the one I'm most looking forward to anyway, Fresh.
In the 5 o'clock next Saturday. But DJ, what have you got for us?
Bruce, my banker of Royal Ascot is in the Platinum Jubilee next Saturday. And I know you've told us that we need to know the time. And the time of that race is...
4:20.
The 4:20 at Ascot next Saturday, Minzal. Now, there's a lot of unknown quantities in here. You've got Home Affairs, Chris Wallers, you've got Nature Strip, you could have Campanelle. So you've a lot of international flavour to this race, Golden Pal maybe as well. But Minzal, to me, is a Group 1 sprinter waiting to happen. I thought it was far more positive than negatives from his return to action at York. He just got left on his own when Dragon Symbol faded. And his run last year in the Champion Sprints and Champions Day was a hell of a run, given it was only a second start to the season. I think this is a really, really good horse. And I think it will be compensation for Owen Burrows, of course, who it looks like Huckham won't run again. So, yeah, Minzal for me, 14-1, massive price in the Platinum Jubilee.
Lovely stuff. Leon?
Bruce, I'm going to go to the very first day, one of the new races, the very last race on the card, the Copper Horse Stakes Handicap. At 6:10, and I'm all over Cleveland. I thought the handicapper was very, very lenient to only, I think it was £5 for winning the Chester Cup. Stepping back a little bit in trip, this son of Camelot missed his entire 3-year-old career. Went for a run in Nice over a mile and a quarter. And then won the Chester Cup, I thought, very, very comfortably indeed in the end. And I think this handicap for him on the opening day is tailor-made.
Excellent. And I am going to break with tradition and give you a tip, because I really fancy one on Wednesday in the 3:05, which is the Queen's Vase over a mile and six. A horse called Eldar Elderoff, trained by Roger Varian. Two runs in his career, hacked up at Nottingham at 2, and was really, really impressive, I thought, on his reappearance at Newcastle. He's obviously got a load to find. He's progressive, but I think he might progress past a field that doesn't look particularly deep, and he's 10-1 Elderoff in the 3:05. Before we go, just to tell you about next week's postcasts. On Monday, Sam Hart will be hosting a show that covers the first 3 days of Royal Ascot. Expert tips, all the best value. And then I'm back either, I can't remember, it's going to be Thursday evening or Friday morning, but the postcast comes forward next week to bring you the Friday and Saturday cards. So do not miss those. We'll have all the details of those on the Racing Post Twitter feed at Racing Post. In the meantime, have a fantastic weekend. I hope you bet successfully. I hope you bet responsibly. And I hope you can join us next week for those two fantastic Royal Ascot postcasts.